And as always, we started the conversation. This was Screenfish. And we're clear. Shelley, Andrew, thank you so much for coming on.
It was always a pleasure to be here. And I especially liked working with you, Andrew.
Oh, likewise.
Really good.
Yeah, you both do a great job.
Yeah, Andrew was really exceptional, though, I thought, didn't you?
Oh, wasn't that great?
Yeah, well, let's not get carried away.
Well, you trained him, though, Steve, didn't you? If you were ever away, I think he could, you know, probably do it if you needed a break.
Well, Andrew's very busy,
well,
I'm sure.
Well, you know, I have been thinking about it. I've got an idea for a name. Film Shrimp.
It's a really stupid name.
Film Shrimp? I love it. What do you think?
You know what? I'm done. I'm out of here.
Steve, wait.
What is it?
I just wanted to look at you one last time.
Welcome to the conversation.
Welcome to Screenfish.
Welcome to Screenfish Radio. We are thrilled this week to talk about A Star is Born, the 2018 version written and directed by Bradley Cooper and starring him and, of course, Lady Gaga. And this week we have a couple of returnees. Welcome back, Andrew Eaton.
Oh, thanks.
And welcome, Shelley McVie, as well.
It's great to be here.
A Star is Born, the 2018 version, as I mentioned before, is written and directed by Bradley Cooper and stars Lady Gaga. Bradley Cooper plays Jackson Maine, an aging and troubled country singer, rock star. When he stumbles into a bar, quite literally, he discovers Allie, a young ingenue with incredible talent. They fall in love, and she continues on her rise as a pop star as his star begins to fade. Just a reminder that this podcast is rated S for spoilers before we get started. Shelley, Andrew, what'd you think of A Star is Born?
I would have never thought that I would want to see A Star is Born redone, but Bradley Cooper hit it out of the ballpark. I loved it.
I loved the lead performances and the original music and the direction. I felt the supporting cast, they bought a film template at Walmart.
Whoa. Hey.
Tell us how you really feel. Oh, but Sam Shepard is a champ. Oh no!
No, it's the other one. Sam Elliott.
Whoops.
So you got a country western singer with a dad / brother. Then you have a rift, and you got a pop star with a gay best friend.
Yes.
It's all the boxes.
Checks every Oscar category. Is
it's
that what
true.
You're saying?
It's true, yeah.
It just needed a prostitute with a heart of gold.
There you go.
That's what it needed right there.
Yeah.
When I saw the film, I came out of it so conflicted because my initial thought was, is that a great film or is it a great soundtrack with a half-decent film attached to it? That was what I felt, because the first thing that I kept talking about after we saw it was the soundtrack, the songs, everything about it. Every song felt like a hit. But the more I've thought of it as time has passed, the more appreciation I have for it. I think that Cooper, I don't want to hype up Cooper in the sense that just because there is hype, but I felt this was his best performance. And he plays the most un-Bradley Cooper character I've seen. You know, he's not smarmy. I guess he's sexy in a different way, but he's not the guy who goes in and charms you by any stretch. His direction was much steadier than I expected it to be. And Gaga's performance was, I thought, incredible across the board. I didn't even have too many concerns about the supporting cast because they were barely in the film. Most of them are barely in it.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. A great film can be amazing performances and songwriting and direction built on a ho-hum template. We just don't talk about it much anymore. We used to.
Yeah.
We used to talk about vehicles.
Yes.
Right? Like, yes. Oh, this is a vehicle for this star to shine. And that's what I think A Star is Born is. We just don't get those kind of movies much anymore.
That is true. Or if we get them, we don't get them well.
But they're not so great.
The star vehicles, I don't think, have worked nearly as well. And this one... actually had my ire beforehand because I thought, well, that's all this is going to be.
Right.
But it really, I found it really, really well done.
For a melodrama, it was pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. And I was a fan of the Streisand version, even though comparing the two now, because I did watch a few trailers of Streisand, this is a much better version. Much more
This realistic. Is a better one than the Streisand version,
Absolutely.
You're saying?
Absolutely. Probably not the Judy Garland one, but definitely the Streisand one.
I haven't seen the other ones. I am not a Streisand man, if you will. I do not enjoy
her
music.
You're not a Stry man.
Not a Stry man.
I like that we've coined that phrase. It needs to live on. I am not a Stry man. But you know what? Before this film, I wasn't really a Gaga fan either. I like some of her tunes. They're catchy, but she sold me on her performance.
So I was a Gaga fan. Whether she's coming out of an egg or making country music, I don't care. I'm all in.
Meat suit.
I'm a total Lady Gaga fan.
Yeah.
So.
Now, did that affect your viewing of the film? Were you ready to love this film already because of that fact, which I think is a fair question?
What actually affected the film for me was that Gaga looks a lot like a friend of mine.
Okay. The real reason.
Maybe was your friend born this way?
Right? Like, I see Nicole often, but that was 2 hours.
Wow. Really weird. I was expecting her to be fabulous, because I think she would, just the way she is as a performer, I thought she will nail this because she's just so talented.
Right.
But see, that is interesting. That's what she had to sell me on. There were,
you weren't so sure that she would be.
There's a moment of this film that she doesn't sell me on.
Hmm.
And forgive me, this could be my Gaga bias, if you will. It's during Shallow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I didn't believe for a moment that she didn't want to be pulled up on stage.
Oh.
I believed her before that as the struggling ingenue that had yet to be discovered. I very much believed her as Allie, the pop star.
You could see both those things in her.
I could see both those things in her. But it's the way that they recorded Shallow. This is not a knock on the film, but it was that moment where she sings Shallow and it's sort of like, no, no, I don't want to sing, Jackson, please don't. And then all of a sudden she's like, ah, ah, ah. And I was like, okay, hold on.
Yeah, she got over her nervousness really quickly.
There's 100,000 people listening to you and all of a sudden she's cool.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a second. Man, I thought to myself, you are used to singing to a bar with 50 people in there and there's 100,000 and you didn't shudder. That was the one moment that I went, hold on. But
it's like when you're preaching on Sunday, Steve, and...
Oh, no one believes me then either. That's fair, actually.
You got 50. It would be just the same at 10,000. It would have been pretty boring, though, if she'd got up and sang poorly.
Good point.
I agree.
I mean, as part of the movie...
And I'm not saying it was a disconnect for me, but it was just one of those moments where I'm watching and I'm like, hold on, this happened very quickly. But she blew me away. So, of course, you know, you were at the press conference.
Right.
And
you got to see her? Oh.
So
it was just Nicole.
What?
My friend.
Oh, it was just your friend up on stage. That's right. With Bradley Cooper, though. The first thing you said to me when I asked you how it went was, oh, it went well. They're gunning for Oscar.
Oh, absolutely.
So what do you mean by that?
So it was 5 people complimenting each other for an hour.
For an hour?
For an hour.
Really?
Yeah. It was, who knew Cooper would be such an amazing director for his time out of the gate? And Gaga makes this star turn of acting. And like, everything was just fabulous.
And he could sing, too.
Exactly.
Who knew that?
Yes. And I think they're gunning for some supporting noms because they were really pushing them heavily.
Really? Like Sam Shepard?
Yeah.
Or Sam Elliott.
Sam Shepard's dead.
Oh.
And Dave Chappelle.
Of course.
Of course.
But Dave Chappelle's in it for 5 minutes.
Yes. He hadn't read the script.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
He had not read the script?
Yeah. He was like, my friend Bradley told me about this movie, and I was like, okay.
That's what signed him right there.
I liked her dad, Andrew.
Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah. I know. I didn't recognize him at first, and then I saw he's in this movie. Who was he?
But something I assumed that I didn't know until the presser was all of the concert scenes were actual concerts.
Really?
So they jumped on 5 minutes before Willie Nelson actually went live.
Wow.
You are kidding.
Yeah, so those concert crowds are real crowds. They're not extras.
See, that's interesting.
That's very cool.
I was very impressed, and going back to Cooper's direction, at how he made those scenes pop. I've seen concert videos that weren't as engaging as his concert scenes. They were beautifully shot.
Really well.
Yeah.
The lighting was flawless. Now, obviously that was already done for them, I guess. But, I mean, he shot it beautifully.
Absolutely.
It was impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard Cooper spent 3 years learning guitar and taking vocal lessons, not just to sing, but to nail Sam Elliott's voice.
He worked with Gaga's voice coach.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He was fantastic, because I thought, he doesn't usually sound like that, does he?
Yeah.
And then I thought, who does he sound like? He sounds just like Sam Elliott.
Ah.
And then it was Sam Elliott was playing his brother. I thought, oh, this is brilliant.
I love that Sam Elliott actually says, you stole my voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful, beautiful line. I love that line. Because
is he gunning for
did.
An Oscar, too? I could see him being nominated.
It certainly seemed that way at the presser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see Cooper get a nomination for both.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see her get a nomination. I don't know whether they'll take it.
Absolutely.
I mean, she's locked in the best song. Nobody need apply for best song.
It sort of depends on the rest of the year. I don't know if there's much in contention.
This is the first year in a long time that has been wide open.
Yeah.
So I think a lot depends on how much money this makes
right. In
this case, because the traditional Oscar films have yet to really roll out. There's a few.
Yeah.
But even at TIFF this year, I mean, there's a few, like If Beale Street Could Talk, that could make some noise. Roma's going to make some noise.
Mm-hmm.
No
the one
one's
with Christian Bale as Dick Cheney.
That's right. So there's things like that are going to start to roll. But this could be that film that takes Best Picture, even if there are other films that are better. This was not the best film I saw at TIFF, but it was one of the best films I saw at TIFF. I would put it in my top three this year.
Wow.
I think you're going to see a lot of nominations for the film.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I hope it doesn't get limited to Best Song. And I don't mean nominations.
I
don't think nominations. I'm talking about wins.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's going to win that category. I would love to see Cooper or Gaga sneak a win in, or even something to legitimize the whole film. We saw this with Evita, where it didn't get the push. Part of it was because of the views of Madonna at the time. It was also a different time.
Right.
But you knew when it came out that Don't Cry For Me Argentina was going to win Best Song, or whatever the song was that won, if I remember.
Did it?
It was If You Must Love Me. I believe it did.
Okay.
That was especially a heartbreaker because Madonna makes Razzie quality films normally. I think Cooper and Gaga will be okay even if this one doesn't take off.
Yeah, I could see this launching Gaga's career as an actress.
Yeah, me too.
I thought she was that deep and sweet and just real.
I'm sorry, just to correct myself before, it was You Must Love Me that won for Best Song.
And have we ever heard of it since? No.
No, but you know, one of the throws that you hear of this particular film is that, you know, he told Gaga not to wear any makeup on set.
Right.
And I thought that's a very Oscar comment.
That is an Oscar comment.
You know, it's sort of like, oh, you see what she gave up to do this? But again, she did a fabulous job. I'm not taking anything away from her performance.
Really did.
She was a natural.
Yeah. I agree. It was a straight melodrama. It's interesting that you said to me that it was a melodrama. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Predictable plot. Boy meets girl. Somebody has to die at the end to atone for, I don't know what, a crappy life. You know, being in the way. Holding somebody back. And it's meant to make us cry, I think.
I felt like the voice of this film had a very timeless appeal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense because it's been made 4 times. Given that, it feels current, but it also feels like it happened 20 years ago. Do you think that that could have affected it? Or maybe, how do you think about that?
I agree with that. I think some of that, and also some of what I didn't mind the hokiness, was because of things like Bradley Cooper's like smooth line delivery.
Mm.
Like his voice just rolled. Or like Gaga's facial expressions. Like they were acting at such an outstanding level that I could put aside the more soap operatic nature.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were very polished performances.
Yeah.
One of the things I noted about this one, and this is common in any sort of, well, not just melodrama, but any sort of film that's focused on its stars, they didn't move away from their faces very much.
That's true.
You mentioned that in your review. That was a good observation.
A lot of close-ups.
Yeah, there was a lot. This seemed like a film that was determined to make them act.
Right.
Which, again, it's a very different, unique style of filmmaking in a lot of ways, because you're right, it was focused on their performance.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I thought it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Because this wasn't about the grand story. We knew the story. We knew where it was going to go, probably. You know, you could argue about whether or not he died going in. But you knew roughly what was going to happen. But their performances were so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cooper has been nominated for roles before.
Yeah.
But Cooper often plays the same guy.
He does.
Yes.
You know?
With a very, like, unexceptional line delivery.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's
actually
not that smoothness we saw in this one, yeah.
Yeah, their chemistry was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was so smitten by her. Just the look on his face in that early scene in the bar.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
It was good.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. Yes. Because he'd been so... I love the way he went from the very hot, fabulous, out-of-this-world performance that he gave into the taxi, where he's alone and got nothing.
Hmm.
I mean, he's got everything, but... And he's looking for the bar, and he's really dissipated, and there's a point where he's just staring at her when she is singing, and it's like a different look. It's a different face. His dissipation goes, and he's just smitten.
Yeah.
I thought it was beautiful.
It's really nice.
Man.
Okay, so I gotta ask you about him killing himself at the end. Did you see it coming? Because I knew somehow he was gonna die.
Well, Shelley has the gift of prophecy.
No, it was foreshadowed. When he walks into that gay bar, there's four nooses on the...
What? You did not pick that up.
I did.
I didn't see that coming.
Why were there four nooses? Well, and then he says that he tried to hang himself when he was 13.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah, that's fair. I didn't see it coming from that early on in the film. When she's singing La Vie en Rose, I didn't think... Enjoy it now, baby.
It ain't gonna last. I just thought it was odd that there were four nooses. Very beginning of the movie.
I didn't see that.
Very
I did not pick up on it that way.
But there were. It was very odd.
I mean, by the end of the film, after the moment where he says, you know, you're better off, basically, you're holding her back, I knew that that was the inevitable outcome.
Right.
Part of me still wondered if, you know, she was going to come rushing out or leave the show and find him, you know, right before.
Right.
I thought he might have driven off like Kris Kristofferson did on the motorcycle. Because she had mentioned that at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, did she? Oh,
yeah, I won't ride with you if you're...
Oh, you're right. Yeah, if you've been drinking.
Yeah. So I thought, oh, that's how it's going to end. But it didn't.
Perhaps his character had seen the Kris Kristofferson movie and knew to stay away from motorcycles.
That
may have been something that happened together.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good that you guys didn't see that coming.
Well, I don't know if he did.
Cooper made a good film.
Yeah.
I think he made a very good film. The more I think of it, I think he did.
Yeah.
But What did you think about love in this film? This is a true love story. It's weird to me that Bradley Cooper, in some ways, said he wanted to make a love story. I guess I don't know Bradley Cooper, but it's just not what I would have expected him to do for his directorial debut.
Right.
It's a really intense love story. What do you think love looks like in this film? What does it speak to or say about it? Are we there?
So I think in a way it showed you different kinds of love because you had the marriage, but then you also had family relationships, and you even had Gaga's relationship with the drag queens.
Yeah.
And there was, so there were many different kinds of like love and support on display in the film. With the biggest love story, I thought it was interesting how they kept talking about, like, this marriage is bad for you. It's holding you back. It was that kind of thread from mostly Gaga's manager.
Yeah. That, he was a lovely gentleman.
Right? created all of this tension that interrupted the usual narrative of these kind of love stories.
I think she did not want to love him at the beginning because she immediately knew he was an alcoholic,
right,
as her father had been. And why go down that road? But he won her over through persistence. And
I appreciated that about the story because, now again, I haven't seen the other versions, so I'm speaking on a limited
Streisand
basis. She pursues him?
She pursues the guy. She invites him to marry her in A Star Is Born.
See, I liked her resistance in this because it was very much like, look, this is about business at first. And I didn't get the sense that even though that he was clearly in love with her, she was like, she wasn't getting swept off her feet easily. And there was definite chemistry going on. But there was that bit of resistance in a way that I thought was healthy to the portrayal of their relationship. I think you're right. I think there's a lot of different looks at love, which is why I brought up this particular question.
You bring up a good point, actually, something else I wanted to talk about. So I do mental health work, and Silver Linings Playbook drove me up the wall. I mean, the picture itself was probably fine, but the reaction to it, that this was mental health on film, where Bradley Cooper had bipolar and he ran for a bit and danced a little and he was fine. I couldn't handle it. It was ridiculous. But this film,
somebody who agrees with me.
This film actually dealt with mental health and addiction in what I thought was a very real, nuanced way.
Yeah.
They didn't shy away from it. They showed the complexities of it, the highs and lows. It was really great.
I'm going to speak to that. It sounds like I'm moving away. I'm not. There was a danger to love. And a level of commitment through those issues of mental health that you don't often see in a film. You're right. You're talking about how this is bad for you. It's holding you back. But she continuously saw something in him through the damage. That she was always trying to, even by the end of the film, she's like, he needs to open for me on tour. You know, no, you can't do that. Well, then I'm not going to tour.
Right.
You know, you can't do these things. And like, she's visiting him in rehab. She's not putting up with the alcohol because she never supports the addiction, but she is supportive of him. In a way that I don't think many films would do anymore. Many films take the perspective of, he's a danger, walk away for your own safety, which I agree with. I think that, you know, if you're in an unsafe environment, get out. But this is one where it wasn't unsafe to her.
Right.
But she fights for him.
Yeah.
When he can't fight.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
And yet there's still an insecurity in her, too. When he's, I don't know if he's home or he's still in rehab, but she goes to visit him and he's going to be out soon. And she says, are you going to come back home? Like, she's not sure that he's going to come back to her. Because you've only known me as a drunk.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm doing this for you. Like, there's no question in his mind And that makes him question her then, because he's thinking, does she not want me back?
Right.
And he's done all of this for her. So I think I found that very realistic. Mm-hmm. She's unsure, he's unsure. They both want to stay together, but yeah, it's like life.
Mm-hmm. Really,
it's like life.
Yeah.
There's a redemptive healing in their love relationship, mm-hmm. which I really appreciate.
Yes.
But you know, you talk about the mental health issues. Mm-hmm. Her manager coming in at the end just blows that away. It shows the instability of addiction and
right.
mental health there. Like just one person coming in and just slaughtering him.
Yes.
Yeah. Putting that thought in his mind. She'll never tell you, but I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You're
yeah, exactly.
Life.
Yeah.
The death at the end, my thought when I watched it, even though, again, you know, we talked about it as sort of feeling melodramatic, but I actually had this genuine feeling that it didn't have to happen. I saw that experience played out on screen of his mental health. And what you saw there was the incredible amount of love poured into him.
Yeah.
And starting to rebuild him. And how one person's voice can reaffirm what he's already been saying to himself.
Right,
yeah.
It shows the power of love and the healing potential of it, but just how much damage we can do to undo all that at the same time.
Absolutely.
By one short conversation.
Hmm.
Calculated conversation on his part.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of performative nature of work that we all expect. Like, it's not just for the music stars, but in our work lives, we're sometimes all expected to be perfect people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? And so that's what the manager was focused on, is that this shows an imperfection in Gaga and will hurt her career.
Yeah.
And that's not uncommon across sectors.
And he wanted to make money from her.
Yeah.
You know, you have this guy who you can't trust wrecking your performances. You're not going to be making me money anymore.
Yeah.
There, he was very much afraid that his paycheck was going to be damaged. And
yeah.
That's, you know, again, simple motivation for his character. He was a one-note character, but it was important to what they were trying to...
A Walmart movie template.
From a
yes.
Walmart movie
yes.
template.
Yes.
Yes. Look for Andrew Eaton's template.
I think it would have made a really interesting movie if he had not died at the end.
It would have.
Because all three of the earlier ones, they die at the end.
Aww.
Kris Kristofferson, I'm not sure. I think he was just reckless and died in a car accident.
Okay.
So
okay.
he might not have committed suicide, but he dies.
Right.
And I thought, that would have made this one, like, really interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah, if they figured it out.
If they figured it out, but...
Actually, uh-huh. that would have been an interesting interesting way to end it. Go ahead.
Sam Elliott.
Sam Shepard.
Sam Shepard.
No,
yeah. The dead guy.
The dead guy.
The other dead guy.
I loved Sam Elliott in this film, but I love Sam Elliott in everything.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
Sam Elliott, like, I thought it was an interesting relationship between the two brothers. Again, it was melodramatic too, but...
To springboard mm-hmm. off their relationship, you know, we talked a little bit about him saying, you stole my voice.
Yes.
This movie has everything to do with finding your voice.
Yes.
In many, many different ways. There's so many different... seems like there's so many different storylines of people that are finding their voice. You know, we can talk about it between the brothers or certainly with Gaga, but how do you think that comes throughout the film?
In a way... people give away their voices too. Like,
hmm.
he stole his brother's voice, his brother's talent, whatever talent he felt his brother had, but then he throws his own voice away through dissipation and addiction.
You're talking about Jackson.
Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Jackson.
Yeah. You just see the power of love, but the power of addiction to wreck your life.
Mm.
Like, when they go and find the farm has been sold off.
Yes.
And he smashes Sam Elliott. What's the brother's name? I forget. But Elliott says...
Bobby.
Bobby says, I told you that I had sold it.
Hmm.
And you didn't hear me because you were drunk or on dope or whatever. And I just thought, oh, this is just too sad.
Mm.
I loved it when he said near the end, it wasn't Dad that, what was it?
Yeah, that he was like looking
up to. It wasn't Dad that I idealized it was you.
It was you.
That was powerful, yeah.
And then the little tear down Sam Elliott's face as he drives away.
Yeah, one single tear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we'll give him an Oscar nomination.
Sam, we need the tear now.
All right, bring the eye drops. Yeah, that's a beautiful moment because you see the power of, again, his voice in his life, the role that he had in his brother's life that was even unrecognized at that point. Going back to Gaga for a minute, you know, one of the things I felt about this film is that it very much seemed to be winking at the camera through much of the way, and that's to its credit. Like, there were actual moments of dialogue that, of Gaga speaking. You know, there's a moment where she's sitting with her stylist, and she says to him, "I just want them to make sure they know I'm talented." Mm. You know, Dave Chappelle is arguing with, or is speaking to Cooper, and he says to him, "That's why I got out. Mm-hmm. It was too much for me, so I got out." So there seem to be these moments that are almost meta to the film, because we know Chappelle disappeared and was living on Mars for several years. We don't know where he was. And Gaga...
He was with Andrew Dice
Clay. Andrew Dice Clay. Yeah, there weren't many meta moments for me with Andrew Dice Clay. I just thought he was saying thank you for getting me a job.
Yes, I thought I'd be Sinatra.
Yeah. So maybe it is Andrew Dice Clay. But Gaga, who was known for her meat suits, you know, when she came out, people still talk about the old Gaga, but then she's singing with Tony Bennett, and people go, who?
That's it. The criticism was she was all flair.
Yeah, that she was all flair. And this is what I felt so much of this film she, you know, would have connected with.
Yeah.
Or I felt like she connected with. So that, to me, was really appealing. You know, this idea that... And there's this constant reminder that she needs to speak from her soul. Mm-hmm. Cooper says that over and over again, or else you're effing worth nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, they're standing on the rooftop staring at the billboard. Don't you effing lose yourself in all of this.
Yeah.
You know? What is it about, what do you think about all this? Why do we strip them? Or why do we focus so much on the image and strip people of their voices or their souls when we... construct celebrities.
Bradley says she has the stuff of angels when she lets her voice speak.
Well, that's why she needs to speak.
She says the stuff of angels.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. It's beautiful because she's got that beautiful voice.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're going to make me quote scripture, Shelley. I'm blaming you for this. You know, we talk about a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, but have not love.
That's all it is.
That's all it is. But, I mean, why do we do this to our celebrities that make them be the noisy gong or the clanging cymbal?
Some of them want to be, I bet.
I mean, that, like, reductionist approach, we have trouble accepting people as complex.
That's true.
Like, it's easier to see someone as this kind of singer or that kind of actor than to think that there might be variation and complexity and vulnerability.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I love Gaga as Gaga. But when they tried to make her into a Gaga-like character in the movie, I thought that was the worst part of her singing and her... Not her personally, but that seemed really artificial.
Right.
Whereas when Lady Gaga is being Lady Gaga, I love her.
Yeah.
Right.
It's natural.
Yeah, but it did seem tacked on in the film.
Yeah. And she doesn't let the dancers dance with her at one point.
Yeah.
No, she wants them to. They won't let the dancers dance with her, if I remember correctly.
No, it's the other way around.
No, it's the other way around.
Is it?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Because he's like, how come they weren't on the stage with you? And she's like...
I thought it was during practice. Doesn't she say we've got something together and maybe... What movie did I see? Maybe I didn't like this movie. No.
But it felt like they needed something for Jackson to be mad at her about.
Yes.
And so they... That was really why they did it. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that was just they had to have that tension because there actually wasn't a lot of tension between the two of them.
Yeah.
Unless it was a bit artificially thrown in.
Generated, yeah.
Yeah.
See, unless it was focused on the addictions and the mental health issues,
yeah. Right.
I would say that that caused real tension.
Yeah.
But the way he idolizes her at the beginning, see, this was their character arc. She's trying to call him back, and he's trying to call her out. You know, but it sort of gives way to one another. I even noticed, I was watching, you know, going on Spotify. The soundtrack's on Spotify. It's interesting because if you look at it, for the most part, with some exceptions, it's Cooper, 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 Gaga, Cooper, Cooper, Gaga, Cooper, Gaga, Cooper, Gaga, 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 Cooper, Gaga. Like, there's this transition in
right.
terms of music.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is very much throughout the film.
Absolutely.
Course, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the things I really felt when I came out of the film, is that this... Is that you're right about us not accepting people as complex. We want them to be packaged in
right.
some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand them.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to her credit, she's managed to break out of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone like Madonna... thrived off of the package. She
yes.
just kept changing the package.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I'm sure Madonna must be a very complex woman, and I do not know her at all, but every album had a theme, and it was like, I'm going to do this now.
Right.
Which, ironically, was its own sort of limitation, I felt, because it just felt like it was the next shiny package that you're in.
Right. Felt like a committee put it together.
Exactly, yeah. Like it was bought at Walmart with
yeah.
a template.
I was surprised by the humor. It was a very funny movie.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones are not funny. They're straight up melodrama.
Hmm.
Yeah, that added some life to it.
It did.
It
yeah.
adds some real life to it.
Yeah, with the eyebrows at the beginning. And her father, I could have been Sinatra. Look at how many hits she's got.
Yeah.
She got 10 million. 10 million. I thought those guys were really funny.
They were really
yeah,
funny.
It was,
yeah,
it was good relief.
Had some good moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how they used YouTube in the film. It had to. They had to
they
based
had to.
On the way I did it.
Right.
But how, it, you know, one night on stage and she's an instant star.
And she blows up. Yeah.
And she blows up online. That's the fascinating thing about this world to me. And I'm not talking about the film, going larger here. My kids love Ryan's Toy Review.
Okay.
He's 6.
Right.
And he's been online for 3 years. He makes $11 million a year in endorsements. His family now has 3 different YouTube channels. They have characters. Their toys are going in Walmart. And it is literally us looking into people's lives. But again, it's still packaged.
Yeah.
It's still packaged a certain way. New videos look like the old ones, but they've got scads of money and a team of 6 or 7 people on computers that could make it look sleeker.
Right.
But that isn't the charm of the original one, so
that's
they're trying
right.
to maintain that.
That would make it too produced.
That's right. But ironically, it's more produced even though it's less produced.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good. He doesn't do anything. He just opens toys.
He reviews the toys.
He reviews it. His review of toys are like, I got Batman. I got Spider-Man. And then they're like, ooh. This is his review. It's probably more complex
millions.
Than what we're doing. Yeah, I know.
Come on, Steve. You got to get your kids
I said
with
that,
the program.
I said that to Anders. I said, Anders, why aren't we doing this?
You used to have to send them beauty pageants. Now you can just put them online.
Now you just put... Exactly.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing because you feel like you're getting to know these people.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still comes down to a package. This is the world that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
For good or for ill.
Yeah, I can't make heads or tails of it. That's because I'm old. But it's amazing to me. We want these people. We want to know these people, but we want to know them our way.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes with celebrities as well,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I just thought it was sweet because I know Lady Gaga's Christian. You know,
she is.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
She was wearing a little cross at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And they have that little... sort of, it's a rah-rah thing, but it was like a little prayer thing before they go on stage. Her and the girls.
I did notice that. That intrigued
yeah.
me. I really think, and I don't want to overstate this, but I really think that the way that music was viewed in this was a spiritual act.
Hmm.
Yes.
You know, this talk about speaking of your soul and that I felt was really portrayed that you've got a platform we've given you a platform. What are you going to do now that you have it?
Right.
And I appreciated that very, very much. That does bother me about our YouTube culture. But it's like, if you've got 500,000 followers, what are you going to do with that 500,000 followers? Yeah. Can what does it mean to speak to your 500,000 followers in a meaningful way? Mm. To me, was a really key message that really drove home with me. I did catch up on the prayer. I just felt that it was viewed sort of in a spiritual,
interesting
action.
Yeah, yeah. There's only 12 notes in an octave, so it's what you do with the 12 notes, according to Bradley Cooper.
It's true.
Or Jackson Maine.
There's no follow-up to that. That's a great place to transition, so let's screen it or skip it. Star is Born. Screen it or skip it?
Screen it.
Oh, yeah, screen it.
Oh, absolutely. I think this is a definite screen it.
Yeah. And see you at the Oscars.
Are you going to be there too? No. Yeah. That's lovely, Shelley.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I need an excuse to buy a new dress.
Absolutely. Screen it. It is well made from beginning to end. I think the negatives are forgivable because Absolutely. The rest of the film is so strong.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to you both for coming on. It's a wonderful film, but I love chatting with you both, and I really appreciate it.
A pleasure. Yeah.
My pleasure, too. It's great fun.
And for those of you at home, a reminder that you can find us pretty much anywhere where podcasts are given away for free. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, all those great places and more. If you go to screenfish.net and go to the podcast page, you can download Fishing for More, which are questions that you can discuss after you see the film with your friends in between, you know, songs that you're singing along the way. So for you at home, we started the conversation. This was Screenfish. Mm-hmm.